Good morning, everyone. The scripture this morning is from Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 to 12. And I've asked Sheena to read this for us. It'll be on the screen.
The death of Moses. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of Palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I've let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Amen.
Thanks, Sheena. I've always felt this is quite a sad chapter. God didn't allow Moses to enter the promised land. The mighty Moses, who overcame his initial fears to finally succeed in freeing the children of Israel from their slavery in Egypt, and who then faithfully led them for 40 years through the wilderness. It's detailed in a site working preacher commentary that, amongst other things, Moses prevented the people from being destroyed by God. That's in Exodus. They avoided hunger and thirst, thanks to Moses, again in Exodus. They avoided hunger and thirst, and they were saved from their enemies. That was in Numbers. Moses was a man of exemplary faith. God entrusted the law to Moses. And Moses had a relationship with God like no other prophet because he knew God face to face. That's just a little bit in the reading. And Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab. The "he" is in capital, so was that God buried Moses himself? Quoting again from Working Preacher, Moses was regarded as unequaled apart from God in the signs and wonders and mighty deeds that he performed in the wilderness. As we read earlier, Deuteronomy 34, 10 to 12 says, "Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." And yet it would seem, because of that one failing, Moses was denied entering the promised land. The reason is because of what happened in Numbers 20:2-13, which I'll read. "Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, 'If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grains or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink.' Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face downward, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, 'Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he was proved holy among them. So why was Moses not allowed to enter the promised land? Deuteronomy 32, 51 and 52 says, "This is because you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh and the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you will see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel." Another commentary points out that most obviously Moses disobeyed a direct command from God. God had commanded Moses to speak to the rock. Instead, Moses struck the rock with his staff. God wanted Moses to trust him, especially as they had been in such a close relationship for so many years. Moses didn't need to use force. He simply needed to obey God and know that God would be true to his promise. However, it does seem a harsh punishment. After all, in a previous situation in the wilderness when God provided water from a rock for the people of Israel, he had instructed Moses to strike the rock with the staff. Was Moses simply repeating what he'd done before? However, on this occasion, God's instruction was different. He told Moses to speak to the rock, not strike it. So not only did Moses not do what God had instructed, he also, and in public, took some sort of credit for the miracle. As we read in Numbers 20:10, it says, "He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, 'Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?'" Some commentaries also point towards the rock being symbolic of Christ. Jesus was struck once, and he is our living water. So how did Moses deal with the knowledge that when they reached the promised land, he was going to be denied entry? Well, he didn't appear to complain. He continued to lead the people as he always had, and God, in his compassion and forgiveness, allowed him to do so. Moses' big mistake at the rock didn't break his relationship with God. And God, although carrying out what he said at Meribah, honored Moses by showing him the promised land before his death. Aaron, soon after the incident at Meribah, died at the top of Mount Hor. That's in Numbers. Moses, however, died immediately after viewing the promised land. Deuteronomy says, "Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, at the Lord's command. He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his burial place to this day." And all the people mourned Moses' death for 30 days. God prevented Moses from entering the promised land. He was allowed to see it, but not to enter it. That privilege was passed on to Joshua. The door was closed to Moses. Three things have struck me about Moses, his life, and his example. In overcoming fear, in expecting signs, wonders, and mighty deeds, and recognizing God's doors. Fear. We all experience fear of one kind or another. I believe most folk here know that I have a real problem with spiders. What's your fear? Moses, quite understandably, was full of doubt and fear when God told him that he wanted him to go to Pharaoh and request that the Israelites be set free. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me?" God then demonstrated his power, including using Moses' staff. But Moses then argued that he was not a good speaker. So God told him that Aaron would speak to the people for him. As we know, Moses overcame his fear and became the greatest of the prophets, led the people out of Egypt, performed miracles, and was privileged to meet God face to face. So how do we tackle our fears, whatever they might be? Irrational fears, like my fear of spiders. Fear of things that affect our day-to-day life, like paying bills, securing a job, our health. Fear of things that are going to happen in the world and worrying about how they may affect us. And fear, when God asks us to leave our comfort zone, step out of the boat, and do something he is asking us to do. The Bible relates many stories of people who, although fearful, stepped out onto the path that God was leading them along, not least of all Moses himself. There are many scripture verses that can help. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Don't let fear rule you. We need to arm ourselves with God's promises that there is nothing to fear because he's got us. Has he ever let you down? He didn't let Moses down, and he won't let you down either. And then we're expecting signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Do miracles still happen? At first, although fearful, Moses obeyed God and witnessed God's hand at work through signs and wonders that must have been mind-blowing. Plagues, burning bushes, the provision of manna and water in the wilderness, the creation of the Ten Commandments, and not least of all, the transformation of Moses himself from a fearful and confidence-lacking man into the prophet who met with God in such an intimate way that his face shone brightly. Surely, as wonder followed wonder, Moses came to know without any doubt that God can do anything, signs, wonders, mighty deeds, and miracles. So it should be with us. At Cell Group Wednesday, we were sharing occasions when God has provided for us, times when there seemed no way, and yet God stepped in and provided exactly what was needed. When we are looking for a miracle, an answer, a solution, we should be remembering the times that God has previously given us signs and wonders. Do miracles still happen? Have you experienced some? While you think about that, I've asked Joe to tell us about the time he received a miracle.
A good few years ago, I ended up with a slipped disc in my back. And ever since that point, I was having problems with my back. And when my back goes, I can hardly breathe without the pain of it. And there was one night, it's like something pops out my back, and I end up walking like that and very slowly. And my daughter and that used to give me a hand up the stairs to my bed because my back was so bad. Anyway, we had a prayer meeting in someone's house one evening, and I said, "I want to go." And Sheena and my daughter, and, "No, I didn't go. You need to stay in, Dad. You can't go out like that." But when I look back, I think God was pushing me to go. So we went. Somebody helped me in the car. Someone helped me out of the car. Someone got me a seat in the house group having the prayer night. And I couldn't make a move without grunting. Ooh, oh, oh. So this went on during the prayer meeting. And Graham Bell says, there's a man there suffering with a bad back. Let's pray for him. And people gathered around me and prayed. And then Graham himself prayed for me. And as I was sitting and as he was praying, I went, oh, something, I didn't realise at the time, but something had moved in my back. It was almost like it was getting put back into place. And from that time, it took a day or so for that, but I was up on my feet again. And it was amazing. And that's why God wanted me to go to receive that miracle that evening.
Thank you, Joe. They do still happen. They do still happen. So if you remember now or even later today, times when you received or witnessed a miracle or provision or a sign or a wonder, perhaps it's a good idea when you get home to make a note of them. In this way, you can look back at the things you've received from God, an assurance of his love and his care for you. Then you'll have a record to look back on if times get tough. Jonathan Cahn in the Book of Mysteries says, live this day in the miracle of your existence. I'm going to say that again. Live this day in the miracle of your existence. Take account of every heartbeat and make your moments worthy of each one. And then, God's doors. Moses was denied entry into the promised land of Canaan. God firmly closed that door. It couldn't have been more obviously closed. I was just thinking about this, and it's maybe just me, but Joe's just left the room and shut the door. And this may be really good reason, and we've always done it, but why do we shut that door when we're having a service? I wonder if anyone on the other side of the door feels shut out, unwelcome. I wonder if they'd be interested to hear the worship, to hear what's being said in here. As I said, we've always done it, and there may be good reason, but it's just a thought. I think it's sad that churches always had their doors open, and people could go into their church at any time. And now, because of society and people stealing things or wrecking things, the church doors are shut. I think that's sad. I'd love to see church doors open again. I'd love to see that door open so that what we're doing in here in God's presence can go out. We're not shutting ourselves away, but opening up. So the doors in our lives, those that should remain closed and those that are open and we should walk through. We're faced with many doors or choices, and we need God's guidance to show us which doors we walk past and those that we walk through. Sometimes God closes doors to us, and initially we may be disappointed about that, but we can often recognize later that we're glad that God closed that door to us or did not answer that particular prayer. Moses accepted in good grace that God was going to close a door to him, and so should we. There are good doors and bad doors. It's good to be able to recognize doors of, say, temptation and firmly walk away from them. The Bible talks of many types of good doors. For instance, in Egypt, just before the Exodus, the people's homes were marked by the blood of the lamb so that the angel of death would pass over and they would be saved. Jesus talks about being the door in John 10 and 7. To enter the family of God, we only have one means of entry, to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus also said that he stands at the door and knocks. Jesus wants to be invited into our hearts. He will never force his way in. We have to open the door of our hearts to him. Spiritual doors are obviously entry points, access points between our natural world and the supernatural world, some good and some bad. What we need to know is what door God wants us to go through. To do this, pray for discernment, ask for God's clear guidance, and note these three things. Any door of God will never go against his word. Any door that God is opening will be confirmed by him in some way. And going through any door God has opened to you will require you to totally trust him. A.T. Peterson says, to go as I am led, to go when I am led, to go where I am led, it is that which has been for 20 years the one prayer of my life. Moses was a man who, at least initially, feared. A man who eventually was the instrument through which God performed signs and wonders. A man who humbly accepted God's closed door, God's will for his life. And for me, for us, it should be the same. Accept the fear and do it anyway, in God's strength. Expect to see God's signs and wonders in common everyday life. Ask God to direct our choices by pointing to the doors that have been opened by him for you. I'm going to close with a poem by Horatius Bonar as a prayer. Thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. Lead me by thine own hand, choose thou the path for me. Smooth let it be or rough, it will be still the best. Winding or straight, it leads right onward to thy rest. I dare not choose my lot. I would not if I might. Choose thou for me, my God, so shall I walk aright. Take thou my cup, and it with joy or sorrow fill, as best to thee may seem. Choose thou my good and ill. Choose thou for me my friends, my sickness and my health. Choose thou my cares for me, my poverty or wealth. Not mine the choice in things or great or small. Be thou my guide, my strength, my wisdom, and my all. Amen.